It's beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. What a wonderful day to worship the Lord, both in song and in His scriptures. And we're going to be doing that in a big, big way here. Of course, today is part three. I'll be concluding my message, There's Plenty of Room in Hell. Again, a very controversial message, but regrettably a very needed one. And I just hope that you've had your pencil or pen and some paper handy, and you've been writing down Bible verses and keeping track so you could go to God's Word yourself, being a noble Berean, as the Bible says, and studying for yourself. You'll be a workman unashamed. That's the only way to live, my friends, because there's such glory in the Word of God. Well, you know, one of the things that has always touched my heart over the years has been beautiful music. I believe honestly that God inspires certain of His subjects, certain of His disciples, that means you and me, certain of the saints, to be sort of specialists in the music field. I don't mean, you know, you're a Mozart or a Beethoven. I don't know anything about those men in their lives. I'm talking about Spirit-filled Christians. Christians who are empowered by the Holy Ghost to sing and to play instruments or whatever for the glory of God. You know, when you look at secular music and you compare it with truly inspired heavenly music, there's just no comparison. And I don't just mean the lyrics or the words. Some people would try to tell you, well, as long as the lyrics are okay, the music's okay. Well, that's just pure nonsense. You see, there's power even in the beat of a song. There's power in the chords of music. There's power in the way music is arranged. It can stir the soul of a man. Music can make a beast cry or make a beast go on a killing rampage. Why do you think they have martial type music for the military? I remember all those military bands. Then you go to a funeral, they play dirge music. It's slow and, you know, grind zone. And, you know, for a marching band, there's more peppy music, patriotic music. Old music does stir the spirits and emotions of men. And did you know that music can cast out devils? That's right. Music can cast out devils or attract devils. You see, that's what they do in places like Haiti and in Africa. They beat on the drums and they chant. And with their music, they actually attract the devils to come, the spirits to come. But look at the Bible. Remember David played his harp? It's recorded in the Old Testament that when David played his harp, the devils, the demons that were in and possessing, you might say in a sense, or at least tormenting, King Saul, did you know that music drove them away? Now imagine, King Saul was very troubled in his spirit. Well, he'd been involved in some sinning, evidently. And, you know, he invited David in to play his harp. Now, no words, just harp music. But evidently God inspired the very composition, perhaps the hands, whatever David did there, he played that harp, and you know, heavenly music came out. And it says there in the Bible that those devils, they left, they departed. They didn't want to be around heavenly music. I've heard a lot of people that believe in so-called Christian rock. They say, well, the lyrics glorify God. I don't care about the lyrics, my friends. That's nice if they glorify God. But what about the beat? What about the spirit that's conjured up? So you can conjure up the spirit of God. And I don't want to use that word conjure up. That's a terrible word. I mean, you can invite God in. You know, I think God loves a house. Can you imagine gospel music playing through the radio or through a stereo system in a home? Or maybe just a man or a woman not even having a really pleasant voice, just singing. Singing glorious music, honoring God. Well, here is my good friend Johnny Ray Watson with some music that truly does honor God. It is well with my soul. And after the music, I'll be with you for part three of my sermon for today.
Yeah.
one gentleman told me, he says, you know, I think God was just trying to scare people. I said, sir, you have just called God a liar. Just trying to scare people. God doesn't make bluffs. He doesn't need to make bluffs or boast. He is not some kind of exaggerator. He's not some kind of overdramatic Hollywood director. He's not after some Academy Award. He gives you free will, and you can choose to believe him or not, but he said it's forever and ever. You'll be tormented with fire and brimstone. You will have no rest day or night. Was he trying to scare you? He doesn't have to try anything. He is, and that's all there is to it. I can't believe a man that says, he's trying to scare me. I've told you before on the radio, the man that called me one time on a talk show says, Tex, I think you're just trying to scare the devil out of people. I said, well, if I scared him out of you, he's almost. I said, well, I'll keep working. Keep working on it. That's exactly what I'm trying to do. If I could scare the devil out of you, I'd do it. It didn't embarrass me, but I'm not making it up. It's what the Bible says. Well, now, Tex, I know, but you know, my church has been around for 100 years, and it teaches that, well, you'll be annihilated. The wicked will be annihilated by fire, but that's not everlasting. Well, let's look at it. Now, I don't care what your church says. I mean, I care. I want to respect your church. I want to respect its 100-year tradition. But I'm not going to respect it if it goes against God's doctrine. Now listen to what God's Word says. You compare what your church teaches you, and don't take things out of context. You just listen to what I'm going to tell you the next few minutes, and then you judge rightly according to Scripture, not according to your tradition, your man-made traditions that will send you into hell, by the way. Mark chapter 3, verse 29, but he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. How long? Eternal. How long? Eternal. Revelation 20, verse 10, I just gave you that. You're tormented day and night forever and ever. How long? Forever and ever. How long? Forever and ever. Hebrews 6, verse 2, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. How long? Eternal. How long? Eternal. Matthew 18 through verse 8. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. How long? Everlasting. How long? Everlasting. Matthew 25 verse 41. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. How long? Everlasting. How long? Everlasting. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 9. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power? How long? Everlasting. How long? Everlasting. Jude chapter 1 verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness into the judgment of the great day. Under the judgment of the great day. Everlasting. Everlasting. How long will your chains be on you? Everlasting. Daniel 12, verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Soul sleep? Yes. But wait. Shall awake. And make sure you know what soul sleep really means. Some to everlasting life, Daniel says. And some to shame and everlasting contempt. How long? Everlasting. How long? Everlasting. Well, I don't think so, Tex. I just think that word everlasting means real quick. Is that right? You got your own dictionary, your own lexicon. You got the devil's word for it, don't you? He's redefined what the words mean. I know we will just be burned up quickly. We'll be annihilated if we're wicked. Surely God would not punish us eternally. But why does it say, Revelation 14, verse 11, those in hell have no rest day nor night. Day nor night. You know, my friends, you only have two choices in 24 hours. There's day and there's night. How long? Every minute of the day and night. Receive the mark of the beast, Revelation 19, 20, says that you will be cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Oh, that's just figurative language. God surely can be colorful, can't he? Says the liberal pastor. Cast alive, not dead, alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. 20 verse 10 says, how long? Forever and ever. How long? Forever and ever. How long? Forever and ever. Now, folks, I've gone back and I've studied the Greek word there, the Hebrew word. It means the same. It means without end, in perpetuity, eternal. It means just what it says, forever, everlasting, eternal, without end, in perpetuity. Do you start to get a feeling for the meaning of the word by now, my friends? Oh, now, you know, it's interesting that even Dr. Burns in her book on page 15 makes a very good point. You see, the word everlasting in the Bible, when it refers to hell, that same word is used by God to referring to eternal life. Did you know that? Eternal and everlasting. Now, God says that hell is everlasting. And he says that salvation is everlasting. It's the same word. Same word in the Greek, and it means the same thing every time it's used, almost. There's only one little exception in the Bible. That's because of a different connotation. But in any case, we're talking about the same word. Now, think if I said to you, if you'll believe in Jesus, you'll have everlasting life, and you go away happy. But you come back to me the next day and you say, you know, I found out that same, I believe that hell is not forever. You're just annihilated and you're gone. You no longer exist. But Tex, I'm scared. I found out that the word everlasting for salvation is the same as word everlasting for hell. Now, if hell is just for a quick moment until you're burned up and annihilated, then evidently heaven and salvation are only for a brief moment and then it's over with. Ooh, you get the point? You get my drift, my friend, so to speak, to use a cliche? If hell is not forever and ever, then salvation's not forever and ever. That's pretty scary. I tell you, I am getting scared about that. I'm getting scared for people who would believe that lie. If the wicked do not live eternally in hell, then you will not live eternally in heaven. Do you get that? That's why God is consistent. He uses the same word to have the same meaning. And when he says you'll live forever in heaven, if you trust in him, you will. You'll live forever in hell if you reject him, you will. Well, but wait, you say, I know, I just know God wouldn't do that to people. Now, friends, you may not believe in hell. You may say, you know, the probability is it doesn't exist. I don't. I want to warn you. If you continue on the wrong path, you continue to sin, and you don't get those sins washed away by the blood of the Lamb, you will go to hell. You don't have to believe it. You will believe it eventually. In fact, the Bible says at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, even the knees that are down in hell. A lot of people don't realize that. A famous satanic rock music band said, I'd rather reign in hell than be a servant in heaven. See, they have a basic misunderstanding of the Bible. They think they can reign in hell? No. Because when you're in hell, you will be in pain and suffering and torment, and you will bow your knees to Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven, on earth, and below in hell. Oh, you're not going to reign down there. Let me tell you something, my friends. Why does God send people there? You know, Jesus looked down on Jerusalem and he said, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Oh, my friends, this is the key to life everlasting in hell or life everlasting in heaven. Jesus wants to gather you and hold you secure and love you forever and ever. But so many of you, well, you just won't. Ye would not. The Bible says, Matthew 19, verse 17, if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. How do you keep the commandments? Can you keep them perfectly? No, you're going to need Jesus. And you're going to need His blood that He shed for you. Now, I want to bring your attention to the fact that hell has been enlarged. I read to you Isaiah 5, verse 14. It says, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. Now, if God were simply going to destroy the wicked and there was no eternal hell, there's no reason for God enlarging it. All He needs to do is just whoosh, with one little command, you're burnt alive. And you're dead. And that's it. You have no consciousness. You're finished. But apparently that's not at all what God intended. Because you see, you receive the greater damnation. Remember what it says in Matthew 23, verse 33? How can ye escape the damnation of hell? That's a question. Now the Bible answers it. There is an escape from damnation. Let me read to you also Mark chapter 9, verses 43 through 47. It mentions hell fire. It says that the fire in hell is not quenched, and the worm does not die. A lot of people don't know that. Where the fire is never quenched, and the worm does not die. People say, what is the worm? That's just a biblical word for your body. Your body. It will not die. You will be conscious in hell. You will be punished in eternal torment forever and ever and have no rest day nor night. Well, you see, you can be destroyed, but that means that you have destroyed yourself and your opportunity to go to heaven. Hosea chapter 13, verse 9 and 10 says, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. But in me is thine help. I will be thy king. Oh, no king, but King Jesus for men. You can destroy yourself, and when you've destroyed yourself, then you're cast into hell. Unless you believe in Jesus, and then there, that destruction. You see, God is a rebuilder. He's a remodeler. I used to listen to a beautiful, beautiful song sung by Dottie Rambo, simply called The Painting. She said she was so ugly in sin, stained. Oh, it was a picture of just horror. And she just looked at it and, oh, what a terrible picture. I guess it was a pain to the eyes. It was a pain to the heart. And you know, God was like a painter, she said. And you know, He took a brush, and with every stroke, He masterfully painted over the old image. And when He had finished, it was a masterpiece. The tears were gone. There was a new person in place of the old. You know, I think that song, there was a recognition by Miss Rambo that all have sinned and come short of the glory God. All. Not just President William Jefferson Clinton. Not just Adolf Hitler. We're all guilty. And the wages of sin is death. That's eternal death. And that's an eternal death that continues. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the gift that God gives. Here's the opposite of that. It says in the Bible also, Psalms 9, verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Do you think America has forgotten God? I do. That's our problem. That's our national problem. Oh, the political candidates for president, they've got all kind of solutions, don't they? And they've got Medicare and Social Security and a taxation or lack of taxation and, oh my goodness, government program after another. But here God says, here's your problem. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. But here's some good news for you. The wicked can change their ways. There is a Savior. And if you confess to Him and forsake, He will have mercy on you. Proverbs 28, verse 13. John 6, verse 37, Jesus said, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Are you worried about being cast into hell? You better be. But Jesus said, if you come to me, I will in no wise cast you out. In Romans 10, verse 9, it says, If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.